A couple of weeks ago, after the last service, there was an accident out here at Oakwood Lakes Boulevard and Alma School. Now, I didn't see it. I heard it. I heard the thud of one car hitting another car, and by the time I looked up, I saw that the car that was hit was spinning around in a circle, and it came to rest in the middle of the road. Well, he managed to limp his car into our parking lot. By that time, other folks had gotten out of their car. Some of our members were going over to make sure that everyone was all right. Anyway, the guy whose car was hit jumped out of his car, and he says, "Did you see that? Did you see that? He just pulled right into me." And then when there was one gentleman that looked like he was agreeing with him, he looked at me and goes, "Will you be a witness? Will you be a witness for me?" Right? Now, what exactly was he asking him to do? Was he asking him to judge who was at fault in the accident? Was he asking him to write a citation to figure out who is guilty and who is innocent? He was simply asking him, "Will you tell what you saw?" Because that's what a witness does. A witness just simply tells what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've experienced. That's a witness. And that's what Jesus says that we are. He says, "You are my witnesses." Now notice he doesn't say, "Will you be my witness?" Because either you saw something, you've experienced something, or you haven't. It's just like those folks that saw the accident. You don't have a choice of whether you're a witness or not. You either are or you're not. Either you saw it or you didn't see it. I didn't see it. Obviously, this other gentleman saw it. So his question wasn't, "Will you be a witness?" That's how he phrased it. What he really meant was, "Will you tell the officer what you saw? Will you come to court and tell the judge what you saw?" That's what he was asking. Much the same way Jesus is asking the same thing. We are witnesses, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, right? We've experienced his love and his grace and the power in our lives, right? So we are his witnesses. The question is, will you be? Are you willing? Are you willing to tell others? Are you willing to say what you know to be true? As we finish up our series of messages on advance, that is, advancing God's kingdom, and the privilege is that we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of advancing his kingdom. Let's take a look then. What is Jesus actually asking us to do? What is it that a witness does, right? All right, so we've talked about this. Let's go more in depth, though. A witness says what you know to be true. That's what a witness does. And actually, if you look at the New Testament, you look at the disciples, right? Mostly what they did was simply tell what they knew to be true, right? God's going to convict the heart. God's going to bring someone to faith. They're simply called upon. This is what we've experienced. This is what we heard. This is what we know. So a couple examples of that. So if we go to Acts chapter 2, here, Peter's given the first Christian sermon, and about halfway through, he says this, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." So he's saying, this Jesus, we spent 3 years with him, we watched him die, all right, and then 3 days later, he came back alive. We've eaten with him, we've walked with him, we've listened to him, we've talked with him. We're given a witness of what we know to be true. He was dead, now he is alive. Let's go to the disciple John. John was one of Jesus' closest friends. So he composes his gospel, that his account of Jesus' life. We're simply going to tell, this is what I experienced. This is what I heard from Jesus. He concludes by this. He says, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." So he's saying, there are others that support me in this. They know that everything that I've written here, this history of Jesus and his life, they know that it's true. They're just simply stating that. One more. Let's go to Luke. I go to Luke because Luke is a second generation Christian. So he didn't actually sit at the feet of Jesus, right? But he says this, "It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account." So for Luke, he says, so I've got eyewitnesses that I've talked to. I've been following this for quite some time. And so it seemed good to him, let's put this on a nice orderly account because I'm convinced that it's true. A witness. A witness simply tells what they know to be true, what they've experienced, what they've heard, right? That's what a witness does. So what do you know to be true? What is it that you know to be true about your relationship with God? What do you know to be true that how you're changed because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you? See, perhaps you haven't thought of that before, right? But we should. We should, because if we're going to be a witness, we need to be ready to tell people, how has my faith life changed me? How has it made a difference in my life? I mean, what does it mean to you that you have a God that unconditionally loves you? What does it mean to you that you have your sins forgiven, all of your wrongs are gone, you don't have to deal with guilt and regret anymore? What does it mean that God walks alongside of you every moment of every day? Can you look back in your life and see instances where now you can obviously see the hand of God was on you? I can. Lots of instances. Think of those instances. Have those fresh in your mind so that you can simply tell what you've experienced, but what you know to be true. You need to be ready. I mean, when people come up to you, your friends, your neighbors, right, your classmates, and they say, so why do you go to church every week? We see a pull out of the driveway. Why do you do that? I hope your answer is a lot more than, well, it fills the time before I tee off. I hope it's more than, well, my mom and dad make me go. I hope it's more than, well, they got a fantastic preacher. Well, no. That's not the reason. It's not the reason, right? It goes deeper than that, right? Peter put it this way in his first letter. He said, be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We're not here to point fingers and accuse and convict. We're here simply to say what we know to be true, but be prepared for that. And if you haven't thought of it in the past, that's my challenge for you right now. Think of what your faith means to you and how your relationship with Jesus, what the impact that has on your life. And God will give you an opportunity where you can just simply say, this is what I know to be true. That's what a witness does. Now, I'm going to be straight up for you. Sometimes being a witness, well, it might make you uncomfortable, right? In fact, I can almost guarantee it. There'll be some instances where you will be uncomfortable, right? It was that way for the disciples. There was lots of uncomfortableness for the disciples, right? When Jesus says, all right, you're going to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? Wait a minute, back up the bus. Jerusalem, okay, that's to fellow Jews. A little uncomfortable, but all right, I can do that. Judea, all right, that's fellow Jews. Samaria, we don't like them. And they don't like us, right? Jews did not consider Samaritans to truly be the people of God, right? So they didn't associate with them. Now, Jesus is saying, you're going to be my witness there. This isn't the first time, right? In the Great Commission, as we call it, the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, disciple all nations. It actually says, disciple all ethnics, all ethnos, right? All peoples. So that translated for the disciples, you mean the Gentiles, the non-Jews? That's not how they were brought up. That's not what they were taught. They were taught that they were God's people, that God would send a Messiah for his people, that he would save them, right? Actually, in the Old Testament does talk about the Gentiles, but they missed all of that, right? And so now all of a sudden, the Gentiles are going to be part of the church. Lots of consternation in the early church. Read the book of Acts. Right? Lots of things going on of this mixture between Jews and now the Gentiles coming in. Everybody was uncomfortable. But everyone was blessed. Everyone was blessed. What might make you uncomfortable? Right? What might be uncomfortable for you? Maybe it's ministering to people that aren't like you. They don't look like you. They don't talk like you. Maybe they're not the same socioeconomic station as you're in. Right? That's what might make it uncomfortable for you, right? I can guarantee you that in a little over a week, when I get off the plane in Ethiopia, I'm going to be uncomfortable, right? I don't know the language. I don't know the culture. I don't know what they're going to feed me, right? All these first world problems. Right? But I'm going to be uncomfortable. But I also know that it's worth it. I know what it's going to mean to the Christians over there that a group of Christians would travel halfway around the world to be with them and to learn with them and to have fellowship with them and to encourage them as they encourage us, right? So we want to be a blessing to them, but the fact is they will be a huge blessing to me, because that's how it works. When God asks us to step out of our comfort zone, right, we always come back from it greatly blessed, right? If God moves your heart to go on one of our mission trips down to Guatemala, I guarantee you, you will feel uncomfortable. More than likely, you won't know the language. You certainly won't know the culture. And when you get to La Cachia, it ain't looking nothing like your neighborhood. And you're going to be uncomfortable. But I also will guarantee you that when you come back, you will have been blessed. I have yet to meet anyone that comes back from a mission trip that doesn't say that that was a mountaintop experience. That was a highlight in my life, because you're being used by God. Sometimes being a witness out of the comfort zone, but God always, always blesses that, right? Last thing about being a witness. You're a witness wherever people need Jesus. No boundaries, wherever people need Jesus. Let's see, that would be everywhere, right? Because all people need Jesus. And he lays that out here in Acts 1, verse 8. Let's just take a look at it one more time. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a progression that happens here. It starts out in Jerusalem, then it moves out geographically from there, and then finally to the ends of the earth, right? As a side note, the book of Acts is laid out that way. You read the first few chapters, it's all about what's happening in Jerusalem. Then pretty soon it goes out to Judea, then it goes out to Samaria. By the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, Paul is in Rome, or that would be the ends of the earth for them, right? So God says you start where you're planted, and then you move out from there, right? Risen Savior's mission statement is based on this verse right here, right? We identified our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our ends of the earth, right? Our Jerusalem is right here in the East Valley, right? Specifically, right, here in Chandler, but we also reach a lot into Gilbert. We've got folks in Queen Creek. We've even got some in Santan Valley. Obviously, we have those who are down in Maricopa and Tempe and Mesa, all around, right? This is our Jerusalem that we are to give witness to. The reason we're building on the north property is so that we can give witness to what we know to be true. If it wasn't for us to reach out to our community, we could just be a little uncomfortable. We could struggle for a parking spot. Okay, right? That's not it, though. We want to have room and space so that we can welcome in more of our friends and our neighbors, and we can tell them what we know to be true, how Jesus has changed us. That's our Jerusalem. And then our Judea, Samaria, we still have our sights on Maricopa. I don't know when God's going to open up the door for that. We kind of got our hands full right now. But I know that God's going to open the door for us down there, right? And then to the ends of the earth. I'm so excited about our partnership with Children's Hope Chest and all the friendship agreements that we have just in our congregation, but especially in all three congregations. The fact that we're going to watch these children grow up. We're going to watch them grow up physically, but we're going to watch them grow up spiritually, right? We're going to invest in that community, and we're going to change the trajectory of La Cachia into the future, right? We're going to see what God is doing down there to the ends of the earth, because that's what witnesses do. That's what witnesses do wherever people need Jesus. And everybody needs Jesus. So Jesus is asking. He says, you are my witnesses. Now, are you willing to be? Are you willing to simply tell what you know to be true? What you've heard, what you've seen, what you've experienced as a follower of Jesus? Because when we do, we advance his kingdom. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we have witnessed your power and your forgiveness and your grace in our lives. We pray that we would then be a good witness, a willing witness, even when it makes us uncomfortable. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can testify of what we know to be true in you. Amen.